at least 50 years ago. Jamie, are we hooked up here? Okay. At least 50 years ago, I was traveling to a convention with one of my fellow pastors, and I happened to have a New Testament in my hand, and he said, "Will, read something from the book," while we were traveling along. I happened to be reading that particular morning in the book of Romans, finished the 6th chapter, and I began reading in the 7th chapter and finished the 7th chapter, and Walter said to me, "Read on into the 8th chapter. We can't stop at the end of the 7th chapter." You who appreciate good Bible reading and good Bible study know what the book of Romans does. Will you turn with me to Romans 8, please? Romans 8, and we'll pick up the reading at verse 18 and read through verse 25. Romans 8, 18. "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of the bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." Fox's Book of Martyrs, many of the other books on church history, record for us that to be a Christian was to be a sufferer. Human persecution. And what Paul is trying to tell us here is like the old-fashioned scales that you held in the middle and you had a plate on either side. And he says, on this side we will put the sufferings of this present day. And on this side we will put the glories that shall be revealed when he comes. The glories that shall be revealed in us. And the scale balances like this. Very obvious. The sufferings of this present day cannot be compared with the glory that we will have in the future. I trust you're looking to the future. I trust you having become so earthbound that you're no heavenly good, that you've got your roots so involved in this present world that you're not looking forward to the coming of the Lord. I was struck just the other day to read in the book of Ezra, and we read of the number of people that returned from captivity as compared with the number of people who had gone into captivity, and it's much less. Yes, maybe Isaac had a tailor shop down the street.
and he was making good money. So why leave that to go back to Jerusalem? I trust that's not true of us. Paul knew what it meant to suffer. Will you turn with me to 2 Corinthians 11:23? 2 Corinthians 11. And we'll pick it up in verse 23. We break into the context of Paul's defense of his apostleship. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and even exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Paul says, if you want to know suffering, let me brag a bit. I'm a fool for doing it, but let me brag a bit. In labor more abundant, in stripes more above measure, in prison more often, thrice beaten with rods, once stoned, thrice suffered shipwreck. But still Paul comes out of all of that and says, the sufferings of this present age are not to be compared with that which will be in the future. Cannot be compared to the time in the future when we will be adopted, completely adopted, and we'll get to that eventually, completely adopted into the family of God. And he says we should look with earnest expectation. Are you looking with earnest expectation? I don't know where I picked it up, but I use it frequently. I said goodbye to Brother Phaneuf last Sunday night, and I said, Lloyd, if I don't see you next year, I'll meet you on the way up. If I don't see you again, and he calls us, I'll meet you on the way up. Isn't that a glorious fact? Isn't that exactly what Paul is talking about here? The present day persecutions are senior moments, our aches and pains, the fact that we've lost loved ones, the fact that Lorraine had to spend and Gordon had to spend a few weeks in the manor. You name it. Paul says these things cannot be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So first of all, I have 3 points tonight, so when I get down to the third point, you know I'm almost finished. You know, that helps me to know where I'm going, and it helps you to know when I'm going to be finished. Who's looking? Who's looking? Who's looking for the coming of the Lord? Or who's looking for the glory that shall be revealed in us? First of all, creatures, creation, the world about us. Not just the animals, but the whole world waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The other week, a group of us went up to the Jacksonville Zoo. And there was a petting area, but it was very restricted. They didn't allow me to pet the lions or the tigers. There were other curious creatures. But thinking of zoos, Paul says, the animals, creatures, creation, are all living in earnest anticipation for the revelation of the sons of God. Secondly, the saints, you and I. If you believe the book, if you're living by the book, you're looking with earnest anticipation. Christ says in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And you can change that phrase to say this. If it were not so, would I have told you? Brother Jack and another two friends of ours in the pastorate up north have families. Jack has two sons. Brother Reichenbach has two sons. And Brother Bean had three daughters. I never found Jack complaining that he has no daughters, but he's bragging about his sons. The Reichenbachs are bragging about their sons. You get Brother Bob, he was down with us during conference, you get him started on his sons, and you can't get him stopped. But then Brother Bean, I never heard him complain he had no sons, but he was bragging about his daughters. That's exactly what Jesus is talking. He says, if there isn't something better in the future, I wouldn't have raised your hopes. I would have told you exactly as it is. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. If there isn't something in the future, I wouldn't have raised your hopes. And hope comes in at the end, as we'll see in our message. Secondly, why are we looking? We looked at who's looking. Why are we looking? The creation is looking because it was subject to vanity, the King James says. Creation is beautiful today. We rejoice in the gloxinias that are around our campus. We rejoice in the beauty of the sunrise and of the sunset. But Paul says they were all different. When Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden, life there cannot be compared with life now. But I believe that life in the future will be even greater than life in the Garden of Eden. Yes, the serpent was cursed above every beast. The woman was to bring forth her children in sorrow. The ground was cursed for man's sake, thorns and thistles. I noticed in the minutes of the residence meeting that if we wanted to have a garden, we were to ask permission. But you fertilize the garden and the weeds grow greater. Why? Because of the curse that God put on this earth. You fertilize the grass and it grows further, and Charlie's got to mow it off more frequently. Yes? And man eats his bread in the sweat of his face. Because of the curse that God placed upon this world. But Paul, in his dissertation here in Romans 8, says, every creature groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Verse 22. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. We were fortunate enough to come home a little bit late on Thursday night, and we read in the paper this morning that there was a tornado that went through Clay County. This is a result of the curse of the Lord upon the earth. Storms, wake of a tornado, fire as it sweeps through the forests, earthquakes, animals that try to devour one another, and the little hen who protects her little ones from fire and from the animals, the hawks that come about. But thirdly, not only is the land subject to vanity, but every creature is subject to vanity, and you and I are subject to vanity. But Paul says we have the first fruits of the Spirit. Grace is the first fruit of the Spirit. The whole church groans, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We're waiting for the adoption, for the son placing. Notice verse 15. Go back a little bit beyond what I've read. In verse 15, for you did not receive a spirit. Yes, verse 15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirits that we are God's children. And in verse 23, not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of the body. Ah, that's going to be a glorious day when our bodies will be like unto his glorified body. Jim, no senior moments. No hip replacements. No knee replacements. No aches, no pains. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Ah, yes. A glorious time when the body shall be redeemed. I think I must have told you my little story of my experience around 12 years of age. I had listened to my father preach on the second coming frequently. And in my school social studies book, I read where up in New England, they had taken the bones of the Pilgrim Fathers and put them all underneath a monument and put a blast plate on it. And I said to my mother, I remember I was doing my homework Sunday noon while she was making dinner. And I came to her, I said, Mom, and I showed her the picture. I said, if what Dad's been preaching, what about these bones? And Mother's response immediately was, the God who made those bones can bring those bones together from underneath the monument, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. The redemption of the body, the completion of our adoption, the completion of our son placing into the family of God. Thirdly, the results of looking. First of all, the deliverance of the creation from the bondage of corruption. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, and we'll begin to read at verse 6. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearlings together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest, and they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Yes? That's one of the results. There'll be a universal petting zoo. And all of the natures of the wild animals that were cursed will be freed from that curse, and they will be tame animals. No need to get permission to have an exotic animal in your backyard. It'll be natural. This is one of the things we can look forward to during the millennium. For Isaiah is talking of this day in the millennium. Will be able to pet the wild animals. Secondly, let's notice the redemption of the body. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. Picking up the reading at verse 42. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. Ah, that glorious chapter concerning the resurrection is going to be read frequently in our churches in the coming days, where Paul says, the body is sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. Yes, our bodies will not be subject to death and decay. There will be glorified bodies, like unto His holy body. There will be no need for sustenance, although we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb, a banquet. But we read that the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. Now listen. We'll never grow old. I tell my younger friends, don't grow old. It's costly. It's wearisome. But they respond, we all grow old, don't we? But there's going to come a time when we receive our glorified bodies, like unto His own body, we'll not grow old. There will be no lust to tempt us, and we'll have a body like unto His glorious body. Let me ask you, are you looking with earnest, eager anticipation to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you? Think in your own hearts. Are you looking for the coming of the Lord? Someone has said, live as He's coming today. Work as though He were coming 10 years from now. My father preached for 51 years and frequently preached on the second coming of the Lord. The Lord didn't come, hasn't come. Dad's been gone since 1970, too long ago to remember. But I can't conclude my message without turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Beginning to read at verse 13 and reading to the end of the chapter. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, the call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and our left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. And out of this passage, I'd like to point out two obvious things. It's nothing new. Paul says, and we which are alive and remain. Paul expected the Lord to come in his lifetime. He was looking, as he says in Romans 8, he was looking with earnest anticipation for the coming of the Lord. And then the final words of 1 Thessalonians 4, when he says, because he's coming again, and we'll know it by the shout, the voice of the archangel, therefore, encourage each other with these words. Are you going along with me when he comes? I'm going. I know exactly where I'm going. Do you know where you're going? You going to go with me? Are you looking for the coming of the Lord? Yes, you say life is rough. You don't know how rough life is with me. Talk to me afterwards, I'll know. But I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. Are you? Father, thank you for the blessed hope that we have. And Paul says, hope that is seen is not hope. For that which we see, we do not hope for. And he writes to Titus, looking for that blessed hope and the certain coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we live rejoicingly in that blessed hope. We live with earnest, eager anticipation of what it's going to be like when we're completely adopted into the family of God. Our adoption has been completed when our bodies have been redeemed. O Lord, we would pray with the church of old and of the church today that believes in the coming of the Lord. O Lord Jesus, come quickly. And this we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.